We've just been singing songs, and last week we heard Simon Taylor preach to us about the basis of our identity. As we scrabble around in this world about what it is, who we are, what we're doing, where are we, the songs that we've been singing this morning and what Simon talked about last week talks about our identity. Our identity comes from who he says we are. And that reality impacts us. This morning I just want to talk a little bit about a reality, not so much of identity, but of meaning. That our meaning ultimately comes from our relationship with him. If our identity comes from who he says we are, then our meaning comes from our relationship with him. All meaning comes from relationships. The meaning of our lives ultimately comes not from what we get or what we acquire, but from who we're with. Meaning comes in that way. Yesterday, my daughters and I spent an hour or so watching the childhood classic, Annie. Anyone remember Annie? Well, you know, we're all into this modcon, but every now and again, I'm a history grad, so they need to see something historic, and so we watched Annie. What can I say? Don't judge me too much. I'm a child of three daughters. It is what I am. We watched the rugby together later on, but we watched Annie as well. And if anyone remembers that that red-headed little curly-haired girl, Annie, the story of an orphan girl happened to be rescued by one of the richest men in America at the time. The story calls him Daddy Warbucks. And through song and through trepidation, this little girl is rescued and adopted by Daddy Warbucks. And anyone recalling this moment now from childhood days? And in it, this rich billionaire says to this little girl, who he's ultimately now fallen in love with, he says to her, "I can acquire all the wealth in the world. I can have all the businesses in the world. I could own all the train tracks in the world. But if I haven't got someone to share it with, I might as well be the poorest of all." He was talking about meaning, my friends, because it is our proximity to share with someone that draws our meaning. It is not our stuff or wealth or power. Meaning comes from sharing a relationship of love. And my friends, if we know God, if we know this good, good Father who is love, we have ultimate meaning in our lives. The thing that struck me this last week, and has done so from a number of weeks now, is that this God who loves us, who draws us deeper into meaningful relationship with himself, this is a God who speaks to us. This is a God, a communicating God, a God who speaks. The Bible tells us again and again. You read the first chapter and you see this of the Bible, you see this phrase again and again. "And God said," "and God said," "and God said." Again and again and again, the Bible talks about this God being a communicating God who speaks to people and circumstances, who enters in through his word and speaks things. In fact, the very first thing that God says to humanity is, "Be fruitful." Isn't that incredible? The very first thing that he says to humanity is, "Go and live a life that bears life after yourself. Go and be fruitful." This God is a God who speaks and steps in. And this morning I want to help us, hopefully, to grasp something of the fruitfulness, the meaning, the brilliance that comes from, ultimately, from this relationship with the God who speaks, so that we can listen and obey his voice. Here's my premise. Here's where I'm at this morning. God wants a relationship of life with me. The God speaks. The God wants to speak to me. And what God says is good. And so I need to tune my ears to listen and my heart to obey. That's what I want to tell you this morning. I'm going to do it by reading together 1 Samuel chapter 3, one of the Bible's great famous passages regarding this reality of listening in for the voice of God. This is the account in 1 Samuel chapter 3 of a boy called Samuel, who his mother had given him, had dedicated him to the Lord. And so he's growing up in the meeting place of God. This is at the time when the people of Israel are together, and that they met God through a tent, a tabernacle, with a priesthood, with a series of sacrifice. And so there were servants in this atmosphere, in this physical presence, to minister, to serve again and again for people and on behalf of people. And Samuel is growing up in the midst of all this. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 3 says this: "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." Eli is the priest in charge. "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' said Eli," you know, parents who get woken up in the night by their children, you know that feeling? "'My son,' said Eli, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle.'" That's the word of the Lord. I think the Bible is the most fantastic of books, because it shows you that God works in and through our weaknesses. He wants us to grow and become increasingly stronger in faith and trust in him. But we all start in a place of not knowing God, just like Samuel. But God speaks, and he speaks now. Verse 7 is critical in this passage, where it tells us that really helps us. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." The part of knowing God is learning to discern, to hear, and obey his voice. And here's my premise, as I've already said it. God wants a relationship of living reality with me. And when I say with me, with you. Yeah. That God speaks. That God wants to speak to me, to you. What God says is good. Because he's a good, good father. It is who he is. I, therefore, need to tune my ears and order my heart to obey. Because obedience, as we read in this passage in small ways, is key to open up more of the voice of God. How? How do I do that? How do I hear? How do I know that God is speaking to me? We have to, as Samuel talks about here, get to know him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Isn't it magnificent that God doesn't wait for us to get to know him? He comes to where we are. He comes to where we are, individually, where we are in need. He comes to where we are. He introduces himself first. The Bible tells us again and again that out of incredible love, God sent his Son. And when Jesus rose, the Father, the Son, sent the Holy Spirit so that we would know God. That we could get to know him. Not just in a theoretical way, but in a real, tangible, living relationship. That God himself is, to use a phrase, has walked across the room, looked us in the eye, stuck out his hand to introduce himself to you and me. That's what he's done. In creation, in our conscience, in our moral law, in our quest for meaning, in the cross of Christ, God is shouting, albeit often through a whisper, "Hello, would you come and know me?" And in that acceptance of who he is, in our agreement that we cannot get to God on our own terms, but we get to know him on his terms, we come through the cross, we come through Jesus, we come through his forgiveness, through what he's done, and by trusting in him, then we boldly approach God. Just like a child would, just like my children would in my presence. They don't ask permission, they come and speak to their father. And they expect their father to speak to them. Why would we not think the same of this good, good father? The marvelous thing is that this God never turns us away. His arms are always open. He beckons us in and up to know him so that we can communicate with him. And part of that is the knowledge of his voice. What do I mean? Do I mean an audible voice? Do I mean like a dramatic voice, sort of like a Hollywood, "This is God" type way? Do I mean a thunderous thing that wrenches the heavens, that shakes the doorposts? Maybe. Maybe all of those things or not. To one of the Old Testament prophets, Elijah, a man who knew God's voice, a prophet. God didn't speak to him in storms or thunder or lightning claps, but in the whisper. He specifically speaks, probably the most common, in a specific quiet thought whisper that enters our mind, enters our emotions, enters our consciousness with a whisper from heaven, encouraging us, directing us, loving us, testing us, guiding us, asking us. We might think it was all right for Samuel. He was in the tabernacle with the high priest, lying next to the Ark of the Covenant. Of course he's going to hear something dramatic. Thank you, Samuel. It doesn't really help us here in Bracknell Tabernacle, in a school hall, or in our lives, in all of our chaos and all the stuff. How do we filter the whispers of heaven? And that's what I want to share for these brief moments now. How is it? How can we filter the whispers that we hear? I didn't ask this, but anyone have voices in your head? The thoughts that like run through our heads constantly. How do we filter out those? Knowing, believing the premise that God wants to speak to us. How do we do it? Let's apply some tests this morning. Test number one. When a random thing comes into our head that we have a sense is not of ourselves, but maybe of a God who wants to communicate with us. Test number one is this truly God? You can ask him, you know. When God speaks to us, you can ask if it's him. We can ask him if it's him. Why not? Because if he's really there, why would he not want to communicate with us? Is this you, Lord? Samuel didn't know this God. So he went back and forth to Eli a number of times. I'm here. And the old man, who's probably already been up 1,000 times to go to the toilet in the middle of the night, is disturbed again by this little boy. You know it to be true. If we want to know the whispers of heaven, ask him if it's him. Because he persists with us. He helps us on the journey. He wants to speak to us. And one of those ways of knowing it so is in this test, because most of the thoughts that run through our heads are ours, of course. But God wants to speak too. How do we know that? Test number one, Lord, is this really you? When he speaks to us, encouraging us, lifting us, directing us, Lord, is this really you? You can ask him that. Test number two helps. Is this scriptural? Because if you have a sense, an inclination, a whisper, a feeling to do something that is not in line with what God has already said in his words, then friends, you can count on that whisper not being God. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed. And we know, the Bible brilliantly helps us, we know that the word of God is Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the expressed revelation of God. The writer to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us that in times past, in various and different ways, God spoke through different means and through different people. But in these end of the ages, God has spoken to us through his Son. Forever, whom he appointed, says Hebrews, the heir of all things, the one who made the universe. That writer is telling us that you can look for God in other words, and God speaks in many ways, but the Son is the boss of all things, the creator of all things, and he has spoken. So if you want to go looking at what you might think God is saying to you in other means, you better make sure you've rightly heard what the Son has said first. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because he has the words of eternal life. And eternal life, he says, is knowing God. And so we've got to know the reality of the Son of God if you want to discern rightly the whispers of heaven. People can say all around this world that they might hear God speaking through trees and dogs and cats and winds and everything else. But the word of God is expressed chiefly, primarily, before and above all things, through Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, the life, says the Bible. You come to know him, you get to know God, for he is God. Christ has spoken. He's spoken to us through his word. The Bible, the word of God, all scripture is God-breathed. And so the Bible points us to Jesus, talks of Jesus, contains what Jesus said and taught. And throughout the entire Old Testament, it's pointing to Jesus, the one who would come and save and transform and heal and forgive. It points to Christ who has come to set us free. And so I ask you this morning, are we knowing this word? Are we knowing what this word is speaking to us? How do we read it? Is critically important. We can skim through it and do this. How many of us have done this where we just skipped and gone, dum, I need to hear God's voice. Then all the people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its scabbard. It will not return again. Ah, has anyone done that? That was a helpful thing. That helped me then. How do we read the Bible? Friends, we've got to do it well. We can skip and all that sort of stuff, and God will always speak through his word, always. But to read it properly and well, we've got to know what it is saying. We need to observe something. We need to know its content and its context. These things help us so that we don't just randomly pick out and think, oh, there we are, that must be for me. We've got to know it's written in a certain place at a certain time for certain people. And we've got to be careful how we do that. And that's why on this platform and other forums, we're trying to help us do that. We need to see what the Bible is saying. We need to observe. Then we need to interpret it. We need to see what the Bible means. We need to interpret it. We need to find what does this mean? What does that random verse that I just picked up mean? The context, the content helps us. And finally, we need to apply it. What does this mean to my heart, my life? God, what are you saying to me in order that my steps might be clean, my conscience is right? Teach me, heal me. God wants to speak. He wants to speak to us and has had done so in so many ways, but he will never contradict what he says in his word. Test number one, is it God? Test number two, is it scriptural? Test number three, is it wise? We spent an entire series last year in the book of Proverbs wanting to live our lives really well. And one of the chief ways of doing so is having wisdom. That wisdom is the right application, the right and best application of knowledge. You know the idiom? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put that fruit in a fruit salad. Yes? Knowledge and wisdom are different things. Wisdom is the right and best way of applying knowledge. So I won't put this tomato, although it is a fruit legitimately, and therefore could go in a fruit salad. I know that it will ruin the thing. Wisdom is using it best. Knowledge is knowing that if you have a penchant for eating cream cakes, and that if you have them and do them so much, you will munch on them until you drop. Wisdom is not buying any cream cakes. Wisdom's so important. We want to live our lives well, do we not? Yeah. And so one of the filters of the whispers in our minds and hearts, is this wise? Is this the correct application of knowledge? Friends, God isn't limited in any way at all. He is beyond our wisdom. But if you hear him say, if you hear the voice, put your hand in that fire, that is not God. God rescues people from the flames, we read of it. But he doesn't tell them to jump in them. Wisdom is important in the filtering of the stuff in our hearts to hear God's voice. Is it God? Is it scriptural? Is it wise? Number four, is it in tune with our character? I love this. I am uniquely me, you will know. And God knows that I am uniquely me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my hearts. He knows what I'm like. And he generally acts with me in that way. That's not to excuse me. But whilst he will communicate with us in ways often that I will understand. And he'll want to communicate with you in ways you'll understand. And there's no age barrier to this. There's no ethnic barrier. There's no experience barrier. He communicates to us in the way that you are uniquely you. So if you're a visual person, he might speak to you in pictures. If you're a doer, he might speak to you in action. If we're a thinker, in concepts. If we're feelers, then in emotions. God's ability to communicate with us is uniquely for us. That's not to say it's individualistic. This God is just my God and not your God, no. But it is personal. He knows what you need. But whilst God will communicate with us personally, he won't allow us to stay in our comfort as characters. He's God. He knows what's best for us. And if he asks us to do things, he knows why. And so for the extroverts, sometimes he may speak to us to dumb it down. For the introverts, he may stretch us beyond our comfort. I mean, we might actually interact with people. He knows us, he loves us, and he'll speak to us in ways that are uniquely us. But on that point, he will rarely shout. Most of the time, to hear God, you need to drown out the other voices that clamor for your attention. He is God. He does not compete with anyone. You come to him on his terms. And so if you want to hear him, quieten yourself. If you expect to listen to God's voice with Netflix on, a podcast in one ear, whilst on Facebook, you won't. You won't. Secret, prayerful, quiet, still, he will whisper. He did that with Elijah the prophet. His voice is strong, but he'll rarely shout. Samuel. 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 The boy thought it was Eli. Final test. What do wise Christ followers think of what you're listening to and what God's saying? If God's told you to do something, see something, sell something, go somewhere, and you're pretty confident it's Him, it's not disagreeing with what Scripture says. It is wise. It might not be comfortable, but it is wise. It's been spoken in ways that I get, and you're still wondering, is this God? Then speak to people you trust and know are wise themselves. They may be wrong, for they are not God, but they may help. Friends, when Samuel was understood that it was God who spoke to him, he needed Eli to help him, a man who knew his voice. And Samuel responded, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Get to a place where God can speak. Filter the whispers in the cacophony of our heart. And when God speaks, listen and obey. For here's my premise. God wants a real, loving relationship with me and you. Yeah. That God speaks. That God wants to speak to me. That what God says is good. And so I need to tune my ears to listen and my heart to obey. And sometimes they may sound like crazy things. Like God is mad in what He asks us to do. One of the great regrets of my life, genuinely, was sitting in a car in Mozambique. This is a dramatic story. Sitting in a car in Mozambique, and opposite me was, just across the road, was a woman who was visibly blind, begging. And a whisper of heaven came into my heart and said, "Go and pray for that woman to receive her sight." Oh, is this you, Lord? Is it scriptural? Yes, that's what Christ followers do. Is it wise? Well, I'll look a bit of a fool if it didn't work. And there's a language barrier. Is it unique to me? Well, I sense that it was God speaking to me. What do other Christ followers around me? Well, they were in the bank, so they couldn't speak to me. What do you do? I say regret because I didn't get out of the car. I didn't go across. I didn't pray for that woman. Who knows what God might have done? Who knows that it wasn't a whisper of heaven? Who knows it might have just been my fanciful imagination? I'll never know. But I vowed in my heart every day since, God, if you speak to me, please help me obey you. Please. Because I do not want to miss out on what obedience to your voice looks like for my relationship. I say this, friends, lots of us are stalled in our relationship with Him because He's already told us to do something and we haven't. And He comes and draws us back again and again. I'm going to ask my friend Gordon to come up, please. And Gordon's going to help me for a few moments. Not through song, we're not going to do a number. But there are times when God sounds like He does crazy things, that the costs may outweigh the seeming benefit. But my friends, if God says, then believe it and let that settle it and trust and obey and enjoy the ride that it brings. Gordon's just got a quick story to tell you.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, it's a very simple story, but I was just taking some things to town, to the charity shop. So I walked in into town with my bags, dropped them off, heading back home with a list of things that needed to be done, and my mind fairly busy, as we tend to do. And there was a guy sat on a bench there in a dare street, and as I walked past him, I thought I heard the Lord just asking me to go and sit with him and speak to him. There's this question about, is that you, Lord? And, I'd covered a bit of ground by the time I'd kind of had this little conversation. But he persisted. And this is something that Craig mentioned that caught my attention. And I am slowly learning that God persists in this, if we're willing to listen, that when He wants us to do something for Him, I couldn't get it off my mind. So I carried on walking. So I just stopped, turned back, went and sat next to this guy. And it's no amazing encounter, but I believe God was there and God was doing something mighty. But what happened? I sat there and introduced myself and had a conversation with this lad, young lad, who's in addiction and all sorts of problems. But I explained that I just tend to go for it now and just say, look, I believe God wants me to tell you that he loves you. And so I opened up the conversation like that. He was a little bit kind of to start with, but he warmed and the conversation started to flow. And you know, we spent about half an hour chatting. In the meantime, this while we were mid-flow, this other guy comes across the road and sort of and he really distracted me and this young lad. He looked quite menacing and a real sort of like Craig's doing now. And it sort of stopped us talking for a moment because he looked intimidating. Anyway, we picked up the conversation again. Next thing, this guy comes over to us. And he says, hi. And I said, hi, sit down. So I'm sat between the two of them now, and we're having this conversation. And I just said, I'm telling him about how much Jesus loves him. I just went for it. I just said, look, if you think I'm nuts, I thought if you think I'm nuts, then you would get up and go. But he stayed, and we ended up having this three-way conversation about all kinds of things. This guy had an encounter with God in prison that he shared with me at the time. And we exchanged telephone numbers. And like I said, I'd be happy to meet with you again and talk to you about this in more depth. They said, yes, yeah. It wasn't like, yeah, I'll see you sometime in town. He said, look, take my number. So I took his number. Well, you phone me now so I know I've got your number. It was very kind of, you know, they wanted to make contact. So that kind of, I had an opportunity to pray for this young lad who I've later found out was connected to someone I know who've recently become Christian, family of somebody. So it's just God weaving in his plan. We arranged to meet on Saturday. He got his days mixed up. I met with Justin, and we were hoping to see him because I wanted to, you know, introduce him to Justin and show God's power at work and how he set Justin free, and in the same way can do this for this young lad. He got his days mixed up. I ended up meeting him Saturday morning, lashing down with rain, right? I said, look, I'll come and pick you up. I got the car. He said, don't worry, I've left the house now. So he walks down from Brackler down to town to meet me in town for a coffee. We had this lovely conversation. And do you know what? As I started the conversation, I got him a coffee and his phone rings and I'm like talking, boop, and he's on his phone. I thought, okay. So he has a little chat, finish the conversation, and then we get into this flow of Jesus and the gospel, right? And it was like as if, I mean, I've experienced this occasionally. You get into like a bubble where the Lord just, right, go for it. And I just said, he wants to set you free, loves you. I said, all of us are in chains. And no matter what that looks like, we're all in chains of some description or other, I said. And God wants to break those chains, I said, in the same way he's done it for me and the way the other people that I... And this guy was just like, yes. And I was telling him about Jesus. And his phone rings again, all right? And I said, do you want to get that? No. Wow. And he's just all he is. And it was a moment that God gave me to just... God ministered to him. And I you know, look, we're just pots of clay, aren't we, right? And it's just being willing to be made willing. And that's my prayer continually for us, me, for all of us, that if he used me, he'll use anybody. So I had that conversation, I'm mindful of the time. I had that conversation, come out of Costa's, and I'm thinking, oh, yes, Lord, praise God. Prayed for him in Costa's. I just went for it, full in Costa's. I just said, I just prayed for him that God will break his chains, set him free.
Amen.
Right? And he'll do it. And I had a text early this morning, I got up. That came through at 4 a.m, which I didn't pick up then, of course. Say, thank you so much. It's really helped me. It being Jesus. He doesn't know it yet, like Samuel. Doesn't know it yet. Doesn't understand what Jesus, the power of Jesus, is all about. His very name, I said. You just call on that name. He said he's been experiencing things in bed where he leaps out of bed and he finds himself on the floor. All kinds of weird, horrible things. I said, you cry out to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the power of that name. And so he texts to say how thankful he was, how much it had helped him, and that he wants to stay in touch. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit working, right? And he wants to do it with every single one of you. There's not one person in here that he does not want to use.
Right.
He wants to use you more than you want to be used. And that, for some, is like, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, there'll be spheres of influence that I don't have, that Craig doesn't have, but only you have,
That
the Holy Spirit will use you. He'll anoint you and he'll give you words that will amaze you, that will come out of your mouth, that will change lives.
Yeah.
Because that's how God works.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out of Costa's and you know, you think, you know, I'm a slow learner, right? But I came out of Costa's and virtually the same area where I earlier spoken to this guy, two of the dodgiest looking fellas come past me, right? I mean, really rough looking guys. And I walk past and the Lord says, speak to him. She said, speak to him. And I walked past him and not him, Lord. So I carry on walking, and guess what? This was by Lloyd's Bank in Adair Street, same area. And I got to the bus station before I turned round. That's how much I wrestled with this one. Like, as if this guy is a big deal for God, like.
Yeah.
But it's me, isn't it? It's my fear of man, our fear of man. So I stopped. Okay, Lord, I'll go back. Thinking, you're not going to find him now, God, you'll be all right.
Yes.
So I went back the route I came, all the way down Adair Street, and onto Caroline Street. So I thought, left or right, Lord? I'll go right. So I headed back down that way. And as I came to the post office there, they were, I thought, oh, right, okay. All right, Lord. So they're walking away from me. I'm approaching them. And I'm praying now. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what I'm going to say to these guys. But you've got to help me. And I was asking him to help me. And so I just got up behind him. And I just grabbed his arm. And I said, look, I know this is a bit weird. I said, I don't know if I've met you before. I said, but God's just asked me to tell you he loves you. He goes, yeah. Oh, like that. And from that, and I said some other things, which kind of, it broke the ice, and we had this warm conversation. I won't name them, because just in case, but anyway, I don't know too much about these guys, but they were rough old fellas, but we warmed, God did something amazing. And this is just remarkable how God works. And so it turns out that this guy on the right, he said, oh, that's a bit weird. He said, I was talking to a Christian last week. Now, this is a Christian who I know, who in his professional capacity has had a conversation with this guy only the week before, right? Wow. And wow, you just think, you know, like a tapestry, you know, like a tapestry, those fine little wove, you know, the weft and the warp, they call it, that go over and cross over, intersections where people, right? That's how God works. And he's weaving in his plan and his purposes. And we get to play. We get to be part of this. It's a thrill, honestly. And I even when I'm feeling so weak and I can't do this, Lord, is when what I'm learning is when he moves and his power is evident more and more, you know.
Wonderful.
So thanks.
Bless you.
Yeah, praise God.
Here's the reality, my friends. He wants to speak to us. It may not be what you want to hear or about what the subject that you're interested in, but he wants to speak to us. And if you're a child of God, you have permission to hear his voice. If you're a child of God, you have permission to obey him. If you're a child of God, you can have an expectation that this isn't for the nutty few or the eccentric fringe, but that hearing him speak through his son, through his word to our lives, is what following him looks like. So let us be those people. Testing the spirits, discerning the comments, filtering the whispers, but then proactively, intentionally throwing off our propensity for procrastination or our proclivity for pondering or our shallowness of fear or pride. Let us throw off these things that hinder us and run with perseverance, for that's what this will take, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the Lord. Listen and do what he tells us to do.